days like this. I wish that it must not do that to me. This area is very problematic. But I'm praying that it must not do that.
Let's hope so. Uh-huh. Let's hope for a better day today, despite the weather.
Yeah.
Morning, all.
Okay.
Morning.
Morning, Honorable Son Take.
Morning.
How are you? How are
I'm
you?
I'm good, and you? I'm good.
Good.
Thank you, and yourself?
Okay. Thank you. I'm fine. I'm fine. Honorable members, it's past 9 o'clock. Maybe to other washes, it's 9 o'clock. I'm seeing that members are here. Even I'm seeing one twin is here. I can't see another brother twin. Honorable members, I'm taking this opportunity to welcome everyone who is in this meeting, hoping that we'll do what we have done yesterday. We had a very fruitful, long meeting, but we didn't feel that it was long. Today also we've invited very important stakeholders of the department, hoping that even today our engagement will assist the committee, the department, the South Africans. The only thing that today I can emphasize is that we are seeing what is going on in our ports in South Africa. Let's pray that we won't have what we're seeing in one country. It's scaring. So, which means let's keep up the rules of the game. And seemingly, we are still keeping the rules of the game. Even the young leadership who is with us, Mama Bulo, Honorable Tsepo, Honorable Malomani. Sometimes you youth leaguers, I'm sorry to use what I'm going to use. Well, you are doing everything because you are young. You are doing what we've been doing. But seemingly, we're all here as members of this portfolio committee. We know that in other portfolio committees, some members left us because of this epidemic. I'm welcoming everyone, and then I'm saying I'm putting the agenda in front of you. I've started by welcoming, this thing of welcoming before adoption of agenda. I'm used on it because when I'm getting here, I want to greet first. So I'm very sorry. I've taken already point number one, but let me go back according to the rules of the game. I'm putting this agenda in front of you, honorable members. Can anyone accept and adopt the agenda or add? Yes, honorable member.
Good morning, colleagues. I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you, honorable Msongo. Honorable Malomani. Comrade Wee.
Morning, colleagues. Morning, everyone. I'm seconding, comrade. I'm seconding, honorable Msongo.
Thank you, honorable members. The agenda is in front of you. It's been adopted. And then can I ask apologies?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. We do have an apology from the Minister Chair, who's in a prior engagement. Chief Luthuli is also in a meeting, another portfolio committee meeting, and Mamu Adams is still on bereavement, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Thank you, Jabu. Any other member, maybe, who's knowing?
Chair?
Yes.
I just want to, I might not be attending the whole meeting, so I just want to apologise for that.
Okay. Thank you, honourable Sandik, by that notice. As you have heard, my good self, that I'm praying that the network cannot just vanish. As I started this morning, I was saying that I'm having a very bad network. Honorable members, let me again welcome our guests today, led by their chairperson, who greeted me earlier, myself and Honorable Mfongwen, who were talking a lot. Can the chairperson of Robben Island give us his delegation, which are with us today, and after that, it must take us.
Chair. Are you deliberately ignoring me today?
Point of order, Chair.
Honorable Shombo.
Chairperson, you cannot ignore the actual minister. Deputy Minister, you are welcome on behalf of the chairperson.
You know, Shombo, how old are you? I'm very sorry, GM. I don't know. I was looking at this thing showing us who is here. I'm very, very sorry because I was supposed to ask if we're having an apology of the minister. Where is our GM? You may not be here also because of your multitask. Thank you. I'm very sorry, Mamu Nonzaba. I can't do that to you. Thank you so much. Mhlongo, be in order, please. Let me take this opportunity to give our guest, led by the chairperson. I do give you this opportunity in order that the flow of the meeting, it must not taking long. Whilst we want our own time, that you will introduce your team and you'll chair your team, saying that this one must do this, this one must do this. Now I'm giving you that opportunity. I'll interject if we are taking over in my chairing. You chair only your delegation to tell them that this one is going to do this and that one is going to do that. Thank you so much.
Chair, can I interject you before you interject to the chair of the Robben Island? The DG of the department is here, Chair. So you must start with the DG of the department. Please, Chair.
I'm very sorry. The DG of the department of the ministry and department of this committee, earlier on, he was still engaged in the interview. He called me, but correctly so, I was supposed if either I must start with you or I'll start with the DG. Thank you, Nonzama. Once a chairperson of the committee will always, even if now she's somewhere. Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction. DG, no one did tell me that you have done what you were telling me that you are still doing. I'm suspecting you left Minister in that task of yours. I don't know. I'm very sorry. Thank you. Sorry, Chairperson of Robben Island. DG,
No, good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to the Honorable Members, as well as my Deputy Minister and my colleagues, the Chairperson of the Robben Island Museum Council, Bob Maluleke, and yes, I have joined the meeting, Honorable Chairperson. I'm not sure whether then we should proceed with the overview or we, as per the chairperson.
Yes, I'm giving you that. I was corrected. Even if you were not here, I was supposed to give it to the deputy minister. So she's giving you the platform to do that. Thank you, DJ.
No, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Lulama, will you just put the overview? Honorable Chairperson, I would like to indicate that we won't go into detail because the plans are for the entity, Robben Island, to outline. So I will just at a high level just indicate our role and what we really are doing in relation to the oversight there, and thereafter then they will be able to talk to the program. Lulama Osibusiso, can you project the overview? My presentation, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, DM, reflects the issue of what is the mandate, which therefore then indicates how we link together with the extended role that there is a World Heritage Site Robben Island and meets, and then we look at how do they align their outcomes to those of the department. We then go through the issue of their non-financial performance as well as financial performance. Then we just give a brief overview of the audit outcomes in the past 3 years. Then we look at governance matters, and this is whether the council is functioning, is it properly constituted, and how is the breakdown. We then look at the composition of executive management, which is more a responsibility of the council. And then, of course, the issue of the challenges and interventions. And we will do so, Chairperson, with the view that the main guests will talk to the details of these matters. So in the second slide, Honorable Chairperson, as we all understand, we are responsible for promotion and preservation of our heritage. So Robben Island is responsible then for managing and maintaining and developing the marketing of Robben Island as a national as well as World Heritage Site. And this is done in terms of the National Heritage Resources Agency of 1999, as well as the National World Heritage Act of 1999. The museum itself was established as part of the department's agency in 1997. And declared a cultural institution in terms of Cultural Institutions in Act, and that is Act number 119 of 1998. It is governed by a council who currently is the chairperson, is Mr. Maluleke, and then that whose duties are then clearly outlined in terms of the minister's responsibilities, and that they have a fiduciary duty and responsibility in terms of managing and governing the island. So this is also a marine protected area in the 2019, and in terms of National Environmental Management Protected Areas Act of 2003. How do they help in terms of implementing the department's mandate in relation to transformed and professional sport, arts and culture sector outcome of the department? REAM is a way to then conserve and maintain the natural and cultural heritage in Robben Island. And the objectives that are clearly related to that is the protection and conservation of cultural, both movable and immovable, as well as natural values of Robben Island by maintaining outstanding universal value of Robben Island. This is in line with the World Heritage definition of a World Heritage Site. And then, of course, to undertake continuous research in order to enhance interpretation in terms of the history of our island that has got so much richness in relation to our history, but Mahatma Clan in terms of liberation and resistance of human spirit. Then, of course, secondly, is about compliance, responsiveness, and responsive governance. Here, what is expected of RIM is to then strengthen governance of Robben Island Museum to ensure effective management, but also first start stakeholder relations as well as partnerships. In terms of strategic objectives, as we analyze their work, is that then they need to ensure that there is effective and efficient strategic management by promoting good governance, ensure effective public relations and communication, and also establish and maintain effective partnership with all relevant stakeholders. Honorable Chairperson, we then also looked at their strategy, and in terms of that, also how they respond to the need for a diverse, socially cohesive society with a common national identity. This they do in terms of dissemination of information about Robben Island to a broader audience, and having audiences that visit Robben Island to make them aware of this heritage. So they provide visitor experience through an integrated and a holistic narrative of the island history and what its significance to South Africans and subsequently to the international community is, but also to provide access to academic scholarship, research and training through postgraduate programs that they have, but also to provide inclusive access to information through outreach governance. The last one is transformed, capable and professional sport, arts and culture sector, where Robben Island then has to strengthen its governance and ensure effective management as remains a constant. But how are their outputs there is the recruitment as well as the retention of top talent to ensure an efficient and effective performance management system of the staff, but also develop the skills that are requisite for the island to function properly and ensure that there is effective and efficient HR management. How have they performed in the past 3 years? Is that they have been able, in 2017-18, performance was extremely bad in that it was at 58%, but then they improved in terms of the interventions that they made in 2018-19 to 81%, and 2019-20, and then they performed at 80%. On financial performance, as we know that they also get money from the department, but also they generate their own revenue. And so if we look at the income and expenditure that they have, we just would like to indicate that in 2017, you will see that they had a surplus of 12.8 million rand, and then they had 6.5, and then thereafter it was 10.4 million rand that they were able to generate and then make the island self-sustainable and very, very viable. And that was based on what they will detail about how they were able to increase the issue of visitorship at the island. So I will not go into detail, but that is what they will outline, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of the cash and cash equivalents and what they get from the government. But Honorable Chairperson, on audit outcomes, unfortunately, when they had from all along in terms of performing as unqualified audit outcomes in the succeeding years, and that is in 2017-18, as well as 18-19, sorry, that is the previous years. Unfortunately, in here in 2019-20, there was a qualified audit outcome, and one of the reasons was in relation to the acquisition of the boat, where there was a concern about the process followed in that regard on its procurement and issue of local content. But I'm sure the chairperson and the CEO will talk to that. How is the council constituted? Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, we confirm that the council is properly constituted and established. It's got 11 members, of which 5 are females and 6 are males, and 1 white and 1 colored in terms of demography of the country. The chairperson is, of course, Mr. Kentani Maluleke, who is here present leading the delegation from Robben Island. But they've got the necessary skills in terms of archaeology and administration, human resource, legal, business management, project management, as well as heritage. And of course, those are some of the areas we look for when the councils are being appointed. So the oversight activities that we conduct, we always look at the constitution of the council, whether they've got the meetings as they are supposed to, and whether that meetings are properly attended, as well as whether management does hold their own meetings, as well as the number of staff, as well as performance in terms of what exactly, how is the island functioning. So in terms of the composition of the staff, and they will talk into detail on their human resource, but the slide 21 just indicates that each of the top executive in that we've got the CEO, the post is filled, as well as the CFO, as well as the chief heritage officer and the executive manager on infrastructure and facilities, those posts are filled. In terms of the breakdown of the staff composition, the complement is 240, and the breakdown is 98 female as well as 142 males. And then we give the breakdown in terms of South Africa's demography, where black is 164, 66 colored, as well as Indian or other is 3, as well as white at 7. Honorable Chairperson, we then outline that yes, there are challenges in Robben Island, and the council is seized with dealing with those challenges. Among them, of course, is the issue of the investigations, and that took quite a long time. But I'm sure the Chairperson will talk to that, because after the department had done the investigation, it was handed over to the council. The council then had to do it in line with their work, because they were properly constituted. And they will be able to brief the portfolio committee at the right time during this meeting. The poor maintenance of infrastructure, this has remained a sore point in terms of interventions, particularly the issue of facilities management. And that was the result of, in particular, the expiry of the contract of the appointed agency, OCA. Which then we had to engage with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to try and resolve this matter after the council had requested that maybe they be rather given the right to do this work. However, because DPW is a custodian, we had to engage with them and eventually had to agree on the devolving of the funding that would be below 500,000, and so that they can go out on tender. And that permission was granted last year in October. And that is why they will outline then the necessary projects countries they are undertaking. However, also there is at the ministerial level, the engagement between the two ministers and the team of the DG to DG to attend to the issues affecting the infrastructure maintenance at Robben Island. On the financial challenges, due to the loss of revenue from tours to the island, and they will present in detail to the committee. But even the department, because the council approached the department and requested some intervention, and that was last year. And we had to then work around the clock to find what can we do to save the staff from losing jobs as COVID had hit the island hard due to the lack of tourists and lockdown. So then we facilitated the use of an amount of 38 million rand for the from capital works budget to cover operations, including compensation of employees. And this then was able to staff off the challenges that they are currently now facing that have resurfaced, because things have not changed about the issue of travel and tourism to the island. So they will give the breakdown, Honorable Chairperson. But we're just indicating our intervention that we have done. Now the issue is, what do we do going beyond June, which is what I held a meeting with them to look at various options that can be done. And we are working on that to see what can we do. But the island will then talk in detail about those challenges. Currently they are anticipating beyond June including the issue of staff salaries. The last one is then the proposed cutting of staff salaries that I've indicated, and this is linked then to the situation they are facing about self-generated revenue, and that was assisting them to maintain their capacity and the level of staff that they have. And the subsequent meeting I held with the management and the unions when I visited soon after my return, and I think that was a week ago when I visited the island and they have a meeting with management. Honorable Chairperson, that is the overall state of affairs that we are presenting. However, the details and everything will be presented, of course, by the Chairperson and his team. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, DG. We've noted all what we have presented to you, Chairperson of RIM, Mr. Maluleka.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, and honorable members, Honorable Deputy Minister, and Honorable DG, thank you for that elaborate background on the state of Robben Island, and also to take this opportunity and greet my colleagues. Chairperson, in my company, I have three members of the executive team. That is the CEO, Mr. Mava Dada, the CFO, Mr. Blaine Crocker, and we also have Jerome Davis in our midst. So we are going to present as requested by your committee, and we are grateful for this opportunity so that we can be able to set the record straight in terms of things that have been reported to by the media, which most of them were just inaccurate. So in terms of the presentation, the CEO is going to lead the presentation, and I will take the part that it's has to do, that deals with mismanagement as requested by your committee. And I'll also like to sort guidance from you in terms of my short presentation on mismanagement, because some members of the executive are implicated in the report. So I would like to suggest that maybe when I present that component, maybe they recuse themselves. I don't know if that will be appropriate.
It's in order. It's in order. Give them the task, and then after their task, when you are presenting, just
Okay then. So thank you, Chairperson. So I'm like to take this opportunity and invite the CEO to lead the presentation. CEO, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Madam Chairperson. Good morning to the honorable members. Morning, my DG. I'll try and be quick and not take too much of your time, Chairperson. My presentation is showing on the other side. Is it showing?
Yes, it is. Please go ahead.
Yes. We're still seeing drawings.
Or
we can see page one.
Okay.
Yes. Jerome, can you go on page two? I think a lot of introduction has been dealt with by the let's go to the following slide, Jerome. You can, DG also dealt with this. Can you go to the next one? Maybe pause there a little bit. Madam Chair, you can come back. Come back on the governance slide, Jerome. Pause there just for a moment. Madam Chair, The next one, Jerome. Yes, pause there. Madam Chair, of importance that I wanted to highlight over there, you will see the executive, you will see the council and the council governance structure. Of importance there is that we've got an external internal internal audit function. We appointed a service provider to perform that function, but for greater part of the past financial year and the incoming financial year, we are unable to allow that service provider to execute a number of audits that they had planned because of our financial challenges. That's the point that I wanted to mention there. You can move on, Jerome. That's how we configure our departments. You can move there, Jerome. There, Madam Chair, I just want to talk to, maybe I might preamble by saying a lot of our targets had to be cut. A lot of the things that we are supposed to do and deliver on as an institution had to be cut. We only protected the interpretation, which is what we show tourists when they visit the island. So even though in the past few years we would have been spending in the region of 7 to 10 million there, we have had to cut. For this upcoming year, we've got 3.5 million that is set aside to try and make sure that we improve on the products. And on heritage too, still on that side, Madam Chair, the other area that we are protecting, even though we don't have resources, is the risk. Million, and we could not afford not to do something on this project because, as you may know, the majority of our EPPs are becoming senior and we need to do the best we can with limited resources. You can pass there, Jerome. In fact, the majority of those lives, if you can stop on infrastructure.
Honorable Siabe. I've heard the voice as if it's Honorable Siabe. I don't see anything in the past.
Yes, Chair.
Okay. I'll try to listen, Honorable Members, because in some other members, the hands are not up. Like now, I'm just hearing that it's your voice. There's no hand of yours. So pardon me, Members, if I'm... I didn't hear who's calling me. Like now, there's no raising of hand in here, but I've heard that the voice is Honorable Siabe. Yes, Honorable Siabe.
Yes, my apology, Chair, for interjecting. There is a disturbance coming from Kansani. I think the gadget says Kansani. If we can request him to mute his mic. Within the video, there is a noise that is coming there and it's disruptive.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siabe. I know in some other areas, like your area, the network is very problematic. You need to hear everything very clear. Go on, Jerome.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Jerome, can you go to slide number 18, the infrastructure? Madam Chair, I think DG sort of touched on the issue of infrastructure, but I just want to make a little bit of emphasis. Madam Chair, we have seen the media reports about the state of the island decaying and all that. I would like to assure Madam Chair that the island is not decaying. What is happening on the island is that DPWI are the custodians of infrastructure on Robben Island, and therefore they are responsible for doing maintenance on the island. And about over 2 years ago, March 2019, they are implementing agent, which was Kuha, its contract expired, and they are still looking for a service provider. And with interventions, because with the department, we've been making appeals with both Department of Arts and Culture and DPWI, that they appoint us as the implementing agent so that we can attend to these infrastructure issues, because with the governance framework, we are unable, our hands are tied when it comes to maintenance on the island. We need to be authorized by both departments to be able to do any work. And as things stands now, Madam Chair, with those discussions, we were not fully appointed as implementing agent, but were permitted to do maintenance of up to $500,000. And that authorization only came in October last year, Madam Chair. And we've been able to do some work. We are doing some work. I just wanted to assure the honorable members that the island is not decaying, and we can welcome if the portfolio committee would like to come and see for itself. I just wanted to clarify that, Madam Chair. We can move on, Jerome, if you can just go to the slide where we're cutting the rest of our targets. It's slide number 31. Thank you, Jerome. Madam Chair, you would have noticed from the presentation from the DG, Robben Island around about March last year had to, even before the country was locked down by the president, we had to appeal to our council that we needed to suspend tours because we have a bigger share of international tourists, and we had senior citizens there delivering the narrative on the island, and we were trying to manage a risk. But what that meant, Madam Chair, was that we could not operate up until mid-September last year. So there was zero revenue generated, Madam Chair. And then we resumed mid-September. But when I look on average, we are barely making 750 tourists per week. When you compare that, during peak season, we'd do almost 8,000-9,000 a week, with our low season making roughly around 4,000 a week. So that meant that our income generating capacity was significantly reduced, as the money we received from the state in the form of subsidy makes up just under 40% of our revenue. Therefore, what it meant, Madam Chair, is that a lot of the things which are very important and which are very pressing, we found ourselves not able to do them. And as a result, if you look at that slide 31 followed by slide 32, Jerome, if you can move a little bit, all those targets, Madam Chair, had to be put in abeyance, and we are not performing them because of our salary challenges. Move to the next one, Jerome. You can jump those next two. Chairperson is going to talk to those. I've just spoken to this, Madam Chair, that as a result, as at the end of March, we only had about 18,800 tickets that were sold, compared with 322,000 that we were budgeted for. And that meant that from a revenue point of view, if you move to the next slide, Jerome, we had planned to generate $152 million from our ticket sales, and we're only able to generate $4.4 million, Madam Chair. And really the issue, and this would lead me to this issue that also has come out very strongly in the media, Madam Chair, that of salary cuts as a result of mismanagement. I really want to assure this committee without necessarily contradicting with my chairperson, that there is no mismanagement at Robben Island, as it would have been seen even in the presentation slides by the DG, Madam Chair. For a period of 9 years, this institution was receiving unqualified audit opinions from the Auditor General. And 3 or 4 of those years, the institution received clean audit awards from the institution, from the Auditor General. And therefore, there is definitely no mismanagement. I can assure you on that. Chairperson makes reference that the our colleagues were implicated in the legal advice that they sought with their attorneys. And I want to assure this committee that I believe that those colleagues will be vindicated, because these clean audit opinions were not an accident. It was through hard work and a consistent attitude of this executive to and commitment to ethical governance. I just wanted to sort of make that point, Madam Chair, and clarify. We will that those executives or management will subject themselves to that process, and we will see when it's actually being finalized what then happens. And therefore, the accusations in the media that the institution is cutting salaries of staff as a result of mismanagement is untrue. DG will recall that immediately, as soon as the country was put under lockdown, we reached out to them as the department. We also reached out to council, and we sort of did projections. And we're saying on our savings, savings that this institution would have generated over the years, we had about 73 million. And when we're looking at the year ahead, we're not going to be able to afford the salary bill, and we're doing permutations, scenarios. And when that information reached DG's office and the minister's office, we were corrected that the president had made a plea that we must preserve jobs under those difficult times. And we indicated our shortfalls, and yes, indeed, DG came through for us by initially giving us an advance on the allocated funding so that we could continue paying salaries at 100%, and later assisted with Treasury to get Treasury to allow us to use about 35 million of the CAPEX money that they would have given us. And we also applied to the Presidential Stimulus Fund after being encouraged by the DG, where we got 3 million. But those funds that assisted us, Madam Chair, could only take us up to end of this month, which is May. And we continued to engage with the department that the funds, though they were appreciated, they could not see us through as the country was again hit by the second wave. And it meant that whatever tourist activity that we were seeing and enjoying had to quickly drop around December and all that. So in light of the cuts that we've done on our annual performance plan, Madam Chair, we've cut everything. We could only leave what is called by accountants overheads, just to be able to keep lights on. And the next line, we had left that, and as well as the salaries for staff. And now the next line item that became unaffordable was our salary bill. We have a shortfall of 50% when we look at our salary bills. We've made submissions to the department. We've engaged with the department. DG was here. There are certain things that are going to be done, but because the Robben Island Council has been tasked with the fiduciary duty to make sure that they do everything in their power to keep the lights on, come 1st of June, if there is no other alternative funding made available, the institution would have gone through Section 189. As of today, we've split the executive team. The other executive team is currently consulting with CCMA, hopefully, in order for us to make sure that by the time we hit June, we have done something about us not being able to meet the 100% of the salary bill. Because if we were to go beyond June, it would be very reckless. We will be threatening the existence of this institution, Madam Chair. You can move on, Jerome, to the next slide. That's the situation as at the end of March, Madam Chair. Those numbers are unaudited compared with the numbers that we had budgeted for. As you can see over there, we're supposed to have broke even as at 31st of March, but we sadly have 58 million loss, Madam Chair. Move on, Jerome. This talks to the budget, Madam Chair, for the upcoming year. As we're preparing this budget, interacting with Treasury, having cut everything that we could think of, except for the product on the island, as well as the research on ex-political prisoners, and some funding that we've set aside to be able to maintain boats, pour some diesel for them to be able to take the tourists that continue to come to us. It became very clear that we're going to have an 89 million deficit in terms of our budget. And Treasury could not allow us to do that, Madam Chair. And as a result, we were therefore, after sitting, discussing with council, came and were authorized by council that let's shave 50% of our salary bill so that the budget can be accepted whilst we pursue the department for assistance, Madam Chair. Proceed, Jerome. Madam Chair, you also would have seen the newspaper clip around the bursary funding. That bursary funding, Madam Chair, even though we believe as an institution, and I think it's the first time since the institution's existence that we've had to take this unpopular decision of cutting the funding for financing students who are studying museum studies. Madam Chair, it was affected, if you looked at my slide 31 and 32, when we're cutting our budget, that bursary funding was affected in there. Not because we do not believe that we should fund education, Madam Chair, but because we just do not have the funds. If you can move on, Jerome. I've reached the end, Madam Chair. I've tried not to take too much of your time. The slides were forwarded about 2 weeks ago. And I can now take questions, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I'm suspecting that, as they are saying, they were exemplary about their presentation they did give us 2 weeks ago, and the members familiarized themselves. Now, that's your time already. I've seen the hand of Honorable Mashingosi, Honorable Denise.
Thank you, Jefferson.
Honorable Zondi. Honorable Siabi, Honorable Malomani. In that order, Honorable Members, I thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'm having a problem with my video. It's every time I put it on, it's telling me that it's not stable.
Okay.
So I'll be in the behind.
Oh, on, Okay. For honorable minister.
Thank you for the presentation from the DG and the honorable members. My questions are based just maybe off track. The first question is what is the main objective of this institution about the Robben Island Museum? Another question that I have is why is the punishment of Langalibalele, chief of Amahlubi in the Robben Island, not reported as a watershed period in South African history? I mean, it is no secret that nearly a century later, Ubabu Nelson Mandela, Robert Sobukwe, and numerous others were imprisoned there. Why is it only very few that will be highlighted in the imprisonment of our leaders? And why is the DAC allowing the limitations of our history to occur as the previous government did with the starting of South African history from 1652? We need to go back and really find out to who were our leaders that were imprisoned in that island. And another thing that I'm realizing here is the way the executives of this entity are shouting foul play in terms of mismanagement of funds. Can we have a forensic report about exactly as to what is happening with the finances of this entity? For now, I will stop here. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Masingosi, Honorable Knox, Yari.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you know that I'm also in Limpopo. If you allow, I'll stop my video.
Please.
My question is, with marketing, I don't see the Robben Island Museum being aggressive on marketing the island. That's one. Two, how do you make sure that the people from rural areas, especially learners from the rural areas outside of Western Cape, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and so on, access Robben Island as part of their educational excursions? Three, I heard that the management is embarking on Section 189 of the Labor Relations Act, which means they are consulting with the employees with the intention to retrench. What level of employees is targeted? I guess the management must be having an idea as to where, if they were to retrench, how many employees they want to retrench, if agreed, and what are the levels of those employees. Four, if there is a crisis of finance, don't you think as management that instead of reducing employees, you rather sacrifice and reduce some salaries so that everybody can still receive something to put bread on the table, rather than some of the people losing all out? Why don't you think of reducing the salaries of all employees, starting from the CEO with a certain percentage, so that you can still be able to fund salaries of others? For now, I'll stop here, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Siyabe, Honorable Maloman.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation. Let me appreciate it was short, but it seems as if Robben Island is having big challenges. And I also really appreciate that they are saying as a committee, we can come and visit so that we can do our oversight. I think if we can try and do that as a committee to go and do oversight, that side. The other questions have been covered by Honorable Siabe, the section 189. I don't know whether is it possible so that maybe we can get a brief report to say how far are they on the issue of section 189, because we know if they're speaking about the issue of salaries, it's about retrenchment of staff. The other question that I want to check is that I can see on their presentation, you find out that like there's the interviews of the ex politicians is the number, I can't remember the number, but they've put it in a last quarter. What makes them to put it in a last quarter and then the other quarters are just free? Instead, maybe what has made them to decide to put it on the last quarter? The other thing that I want to ask is about the issue of the infrastructure. They are saying it belongs to Department of Public Works. Yes, we know that all buildings of government belongs to Public Works. And as for them, what are they doing to make sure that the infrastructure is well maintained, is still in good hands? And the other thing to emphasize on the issue that even in our last meeting with them, we saw the outcry on the issue of the rural areas in visiting Robben Island. That's our history. We want even people from Bushbuck Ridge here in Sabi, the schools to visit so that they can do understanding what has happened. Where do we come from? So that can they have a plan, please?
I like to hear. So I don't know
what I like. Thank you.
Chairperson Dennis Joseph, right man.
Oh, I forgot because we have problem of writing. Let me give to you, Honorable Dennis. Honorable, that's a moment. Is it not Honorable Boy who's just talking whilst people are talking? Who's that dumb? Mute that person.
It can't be me, Chairperson. It can't be me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Chairperson, apology. I've cut off. Can you note me? Apology.
No. Your hand is up. I'm okay. Sorry, Honorable Boy. The voice, it was a rally voice as if it's of the youth league, Honorable Boy. Okay. Honorable Janice.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to thank the presenters for the sharing the information. Chairperson, I would like to ask make a comment on the DG presentation, and that is I concur with the vision that symbolizes triumph and over human spirit, and triumph over adversity and injustice. But I think the mandate of the department should go further than I didn't read the Cultural Institutions Act of 1998, but I would think there should be a reflection on political prisoners before 1960. And I think on the vision and the mission, it is clear there, but it's not, and I must probably go further into the programs. I think that line should become more inclusive, if I can put it that way. And then I would want to note, I think it's slide 11 that refers to the council, the audit outcome. I think there's a regress to the audit outcome. As was mentioned, though the island had a good history, and then I noted there was an increase in the number of meetings, council meetings, 4 to 20. I don't know what edition was that for. And then I think there's a mistake on slide 14. The council member, Ms. Louisa Mabe, is, in my view, female, not male. And then I would like to ask, what is the definition of African when we define race categories on that slide 14? I know in the current context it is classified as black, white, colored, Indian in the government's forms that must be filled in, but I know the one was African, so I'm not too sure, because some people are sometimes not black enough and sometimes not white enough, and some call them Africans. Chairperson, on the slide 18, which links me to the one of the slides 34, that talks about the challenges. I think we must just remember that this is a public institution. And there's one slide that in a presentation that refer to that information cannot be made available. And I think the question must be asked, why not? And I'll get to that now. And then my question on slide 18 on poor maintenance, I want to ask, I noted the concession Public Works made, but I want to know if Robben Island's got a maintenance plan to motivate further why they should on their own look after the maintenance of Robben Island instead of an external service provider. Chairperson, I was a bit concerned when Mr. Gerson Manana made some statements, if I'm correct, speak under correction, the CEO. I am concerned about the statement he made that there is no mismanagement at Robben Island and colleagues will be vindicated. It is a very prejudiced statement. If there was a decision long ago that there should be a forensic investigation, and according to the department, that forensic investigation's recommendations is now being implemented, as shown on one of the slides, indicating to me there's a contrary statement to what some reports are telling us and what the gentlemen have said now to us. Because if it is so, and then one slide that talks about confidentiality, if it is so, there is no mismanagement, then we should release all reports. Then it's nothing should be hidden or be kept away from us. On the allegations on mismanagement, we should know who is this client. We should know who's the legal firm that was appointed to do the investigation. We should know what is their terms of reference. We should also know that what was the cost of that thus far of this company that was appointed or legal firm that was appointed, or how long is their contract, and this process where they say information will only be revealed at the end of this process, disciplinary or legal, is unacceptable, because this process can go on forever. And it is a public institution, which means as we don't have to give the details of the content, but the processes and what is happening must become public knowledge, Chairperson. And then on the last point I want to raise, saying that if there's I understand there's no money for bursaries, but we must ask the universities, particularly the Western Cape, who have been a partner to Robben Island, to send their students to come and complete their PhDs and other research, so that we can have that information that can help Robben Island as well as the university. So it doesn't mean we have to just fund bursaries. The university also have funds that they have for their projects. So we should engage with them and let them come and further work with the island to the benefit of South Africa. Thank you, Chairperson. That is for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis. Initial the hand of Honorable Zondi was up. Now I can't see it. I want, before I'm giving Honorable Msongo, Honorable Zondi,
yes,
what happened? Yes, your hand just vanished.
Yes, ngisheshe sengoba nginothile sihlala.
Until I
could ukunotha ngase ngiseshisa sihlala.
Now you check your Honorable Zondi.
Yeah, Chair, I still have three issues, although the two honorable members, Honorable Siyabe, Honorable Joseph, covered me on some part. I still have three issues to raise, Chair. The first one is the issue of the performance plan, performance management area. It indicates that in the previous years, it stood at 58%, then they improved from 58 to 81. Then slightly went back to 80, I think in the previous year. From 58, we expected that if their turnaround strategy was that they are going to improve 200%, it should not have slightly go back to 80. That give us uncertainty on their performance and their turnaround strategy. Can they assure us that it will constantly improve upward so that we won't find the entity going back again? That's the first one. The second one, Chair, is the audit. The regress that Honorable Joseph indicated, and then the DG touched on it. The DG said there was one matter of emphasis or raised by Auditor General. In terms of a boot that was bought locally. But my question will be, is this the only a matter that can take them, that can avoid regression again from unqualified to qualified? Because if they are qualified as you speak, which means if there was one matter, and that matter has been dead wheeled, which means they will jump from qualified to clean audit, or a clean audit with the a no matter raise. I just want that clarity, Chair, that assurance that they won't get regress from qualified down if the matter, as the DG indicated, is only one matter that was raised. The last one, Chair, is the issue of revenue. See, this entity depends much on the revenue. I just want to know. I had different reasons before the CEO spoke about their initial budget is 152 million versus 4.4. This is extremely, extremely different. I don't know, Chair, but I just want to know the main cause of this a decline. You touch about the ticket sales, but the main cause, then also the DG. I wish the DG can assure us that they are not only liars with the entity constantly, but he should assure us that the main cause of this revenue decline, apart from the poor maintenance and infrastructure, if it's only that, how is the department going to deal with that? Are they going to deal with that as a matter of urgency, or they are planning in the outer years? Because really, we need a turnaround strategy on this. We can't have a decline from 152, expected 152, down to 4.4. It's really a worry if you are talking about the entity that we expect much from. Chair, the issue of salary cut and others, let me just withdraw it, because if I think other members asked the question, but I'm withdrawing it because 152 versus 4.4, then you can see that the issue of the salary cut is one area that needs attention, but there are other things that need more attention from the department. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Song.
Thanks, Chairperson. I welcome the presentation. Chair, I wanted to find out from Mr. Manan, I think I want to emphasize the question that my colleague asked regarding the colleague's issue that they're under investigation, and he stated clearly that my colleague will be vindicated. Why are you saying that? Can you be open to the committee and tell us why are you saying your colleague will be vindicated? And what are the investigation about your colleagues? And one of the things that I wanted to find out, are you implicated or you're not implicated? Mr. Manana, why do you consider that they'll be vindicated? Maybe tell us more, and I will have a follow-up question after that. Chairperson, the slide 31 and 32, budget constraint. I wanted to find out, I saw the actual amounts, but what is the total budget for each item? I saw that, but what is the total budget for the item 32 and slide 32 and 31. And another issue, I wanted to consider to propose that I note that your revenue is from ticket sales. How much is the ticket sales to date before COVID, and how much it is to date? Because maybe do you have any reduction or COVID relief, so to say, on your ticket sales? Another issue I wanted to find out regarding the Izigo Museum. There were grievances of staff. What is the status quo? We heard that the museum has a problem of ex-police political prisoners regarding the forensic report. What is the status? Are the issues resolved or not? What is the outcome? And regarding the arbitration, what is the status? I wanted to check the finances regarding the delivery and the finances. I think the alignment is questionable. Why I'm saying that, the outcome obviously will analyze the delivery versus finances. 2019-2020 qualification, we don't welcome that. One thing that I wanted to find out, did the Robben Island implement all the recommendations from the AG? Regarding poor maintenance of infrastructure, you stated clearly that you have $500,000 since October. To date, out of $500,000, what have you done? What is the budget? That $500,000 that you spoke about, you did not give us the details. What have you done to date? And I believe we must have an oversight visit to see for ourselves there what is happening. So for now, I say thank you very much. And can we have an open discussion with the entity, because we don't want to hear from the media. Thank you.
Honorable members, I don't see any other hand, but I'm suspecting we can repeat each other because I was worried about, thank you for the presentations, first and second one. But even myself, I was just amazed when I'm hearing that it's about the media. But why did the office of the minister and Udichi to go and sit down and refer the investigation to your good self if there's nothing which is happening? Really, I don't know what does that mean. And I'm not yet sure what agreements were you having when these 35 and 35 and 3 million were assisting you to pay the salaries. So now there is a shortage, and that come June you won't pay a salaries. And then the worst hurting things that really what the media was saying, which was saying is untrue. Now it's going to happen of retrenchment of the workers, but maybe it was not true then, but we're supposed if the department, the treasurer, I don't know whether you did apply for this COVID money, what we're saying that DG advised you, and whether even that was did assist, and did you have any agreements that come June again you'll be getting advances, but seemingly no, we are saying that you are going to have short falls of salaries. So when Mr. Maluleka's open remarks, he was saying that there's going to be time that we release some of you here because some are implicated. But statements of your presentation, you are behaving as if this chairperson of yours didn't say that, and the DG didn't say that they are allegation which are there. So really, sometimes when we are giving the presentation to the committee, which did call you also let alone that you were supposed to go and brief us, but those media statements, we always not believe until we call each and every entity to come and present. But the way that you present your collective, it doesn't give us that you do see the problem which we are seeing as a committee, but also the department, also your colleagues. So with those words, I don't know at what stage that Mr. Maluleka was asking that some of them must be released. Maybe they were going to answer some questions, and then from there we indicate a chairperson of RIM. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think from a process point of view, we can respond to questions, and when questions have been exhausted, I'll then present the last component of the presentation as requested earlier on. I think the issue raised by the CEO is unfortunate with regard to people being vindicated, because the investigation process was an independent process. So I think maybe it is a view that he is sharing, which I'm not so sure as to what really informs that. So maybe to respond to your question, Chairperson, maybe let's address the current questions, and when we conclude, then I'll share with you the short presentation with regards to progress and process as it relates to the investigation. Thank you.
Okay. It's also your role to tell us who must respond where. A message I've given to you.
Okay.
This is not going to Robben Island. Now we are coming to the parliament in that boat.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to colleagues for the presentation. And I would like to echo the sentiments as expressed by the CEO that would like to host the committee and take you around so that you can be able to see for yourself as to what is there. When it comes to question, I'll start with the question posed by Honorable Manligozi with regards to why certain aspects of the narrative is not being presented. I think he needs to recall that Robben Island has a multi-layered history. And with that multi-layered history, it is well documented. What we are working on now is the memorialization project, where we're implementing the presentation of this narrative. So when members come to the island, we will be able to take them through what the memorialization project is all about, because it is in the heart of what Honorable Manligozi raised. The issue of marketing as raised by Honorable Siavi, I think COVID to some extent has provided us with an opportunity to reconfigure our process, because I can say with certainty that 75% of our revenue is derived from international tourists. And you will imagine that with COVID and the access to the country being difficult, we really have been hard hit. And what we're looking at now is the localization of the product. We are also looking at developing or coming up with new products that will help generate income, because currently we are solely dependent on boat trips, which, looking at the content that we have, looking at the site that we have, looking at the buildings that we have, a lot can be done to generate income. So we are in that process. We have recently appointed a marketing manager who is working on that. And we are also part of the top six around the Western Cape. So that really accounts for how we market our product. It really may not be enough, but I think there are strides that we are making. And I think with marketing comes the issue of budget. But I think with collaborative arrangements that we have with local partners, I think we are doing our best insofar as that is concerned. The issue raised by Honorable Malumano with regards to the interviews, I would like to refer that to the CEO, because I think there is a program that we have in place where we interview ex-political prisoners, so that we are able to gather as much information as possible. And given their age, we are losing them, I think, by the day. So this project, in my view, it's critical. I think we have done KZN, we have done Gauteng. So I think the CEO will give a bit of detail around that. Coming to Honorable Dennis Joseph with regards to the vision and mission, I think this is a comment. It relates more to what Honorable Manligozi raised with regards to the narrative. Yes, we have this inclusive narrative that it is our mandate that we should really implement. And I think we also need to note that apart from Robben Island being a national heritage site, it is a world heritage site. So what it means is that we are managing this heritage on behalf of the world, because it has outstanding universal value. So it really won't be helpful for us to concentrate on particular aspect of our narrative when the role of arts, culture and heritage in this country is to really rewrite and transform the landscape of cultural heritage in the country. So the issue of inclusivity with regards to the vision and mission, maybe we can look at the mission in terms of how we further articulate what councillor member, board committee member, Honourable Dennis has raised. With regards to the issue of the legal firm terms of reference, I'll address that when I present at a later stage. Coming to Honourable Zondi, the issue of turnaround, I think it's quite a key, I think, given the COVID situation. As I said earlier on, that we really see an opportunity. And I think for us, we are working on a recovery plan where I think there are quick wins that we have identified. And we have, as council, also resolved that we need to have develop a business model for Robben Island, as the current model can really not take us to where the institution is supposed to be. So plans are underway to have this business development workshop, where then we'll be able to interrogate our business operations quite well, and if it means coming up with a model that is going to sustain a RIM beyond its current performance, it's something that we will welcome. In that, we will be inviting stakeholders, maybe like the shareholder, discussing the issue of the mandate, and also performing entities like Sunparks, I think, for best practices, particularly when it comes to concessions, so that business development model will be informed by a number of variables based on best practices. Honorable Nsongo raised the issue of a political prisoners and the issue of the report. I'll respond part to that to say that members will note that the strife between Robben Island and ex-political prisoners, it's something that started decades ago. And this council has taken in its strides to ensure that this issue is well addressed. We have to date, together with ex-political prisoners, engage the services of Accord to mediate the relations between Robben Island and ex-political prisoners. And I can say with the certainty that the facilitator, Mr. Jerome Sachane, has been appointed, and Accord is working on pro bono to help us resolve the impasse between Robben Island and the ex-political prisoners. We had our workshop, I think, a while ago, where the ex-political prisoners presented a 10-point plan, which we are looking at, which I think will also assist in the development of the business model. We have welcomed some of their comments as they relate to the issue of memorialization. So with this, we see an opportunity of mending the relations and working together. What have we done? So those are the questions that I like to address, and I'll welcome the CEO and the CFO to respond to other questions as raised by members. Thank you, CEO.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Madam Chair. The honourable members, I am using Mr. Manana's device. We are sitting here in our boardroom. That's why you would see Geshen Manana. Otherwise, my name is Mava Dada. Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me try and attempt to deal with these questions. Some of them, Chairperson has touched on them. There was a specific mention, for instance, of Ulang Albalele. In that invitation where we're saying if the honorable members can visit the island, even in this Nelson Mandela Gateway building, you will find that a narrative of a really old history there, dating back as in the 1400s, where all these chiefs and people who were incarcerated on Robben Island has already, you just start with it as you arrive in our premises. So if we were to visit the honorable member, you would really see that even Tatu Balang Albalele has been covered in there. Coming to the issue of marketing, Ntate Siyabi is probably making a good observation. In the past, we deliberately didn't do a lot of marketing purely because even the numbers that we received without doing much marketing, I think we did marketing at strategic points with Indaba as part of the Big Six. We've got an international tours that we partake in them. It was just very limited marketing. This is the first time that we find ourselves having run out of tourists because of COVID. And there are resources that have been made available, and there are marketing campaigns that are running. We're in the month of May. We've got the Africa Month campaign that is currently running, a marketing campaign to try and get tourists to visit the institution. Moving on, still on Ntate Siyabi, you made mention, and I think this question is being mentioned by almost every other honorable member. Honorable Member Malone, Honorable Member Dennis Joseph, it's coming through. It's just even Chairperson asked this question. Chairperson, basically that process of Section 189, subsection 3, is a process that is very specific. As you go to it, you don't go there with preconceived ideas. You go there with a problem statement indicating exactly what is your financial challenge. And hopefully sitting there being mediated by the commissioner, an independent commissioner, management, our social partners, we are then able to bounce on various options that we can look at to try and solve this problem. But what council did before reaching that stage was to try and negotiate with employees to sort of try and say, look, colleagues, you know, majority of you are involved in the value chain. Some of you are actually dealing with ticket sales. You can see the numbers of people who are receiving. And you know, as an institution, we normally generate just over 60% of the revenue we need. Under 40%, we get it from the department. And with these numbers at these low levels, it makes it impossible for the institution to continue indefinitely affording its salary bills. Yes, during COVID, when most private sector institutions within our sector were affected and were laying off employees, with the help of the Mother Department, you were able to enjoy your 100% salaries, even though you were sitting at home. And we're appealing to colleagues that we think, in fact, the council, when it looks at the staff complement of RIM, it actually sees that almost every person that's here is meaningfully engaged. In the event that tourist numbers pick up, you don't have a number of people that you'd say are excess to our requirements. It's people that you need. And that proposal to sort of say to staff, everyone who's employed at RIM, their salary must be cut by 50% just to be able to keep the lights on, sharing the burden. We did that with our staff, but our staff didn't really respond overwhelmingly. We only had a 10% response of employees who were accepting that. But when we were consulting with our labor relations team, they were saying it's not adequate. It means that our employees wouldn't want us to cut their salaries. And they will better served following the formal route of section 189, subsection 3, a section within the LRA that principally deals with retrenchments. But we're going there without any preconceived ideas. If anything, management, as they participate in that process, they will be motivating to the social partners that we've got some difficult times ahead. And to try and preserve everyone's job, we must all take a 50% cut. And we are really hopeful that, Madam Chair, you've heard DG saying he visited us. We've had discussions with him. And we're saying to him, we are at a point where even considering a sliding scale, it will not make, we can do it for, to sort of say the high earners maybe get a 60% cut, but it would not be able to make the low earners earn beyond 50% because the majority, the senior executive is very few individuals compared to the number of employees who are employed at the various grades going to lower levels. So we're even appealing to the DG that even if he's unable to give us the whole 75 million request we've made, if he can give us something initially to delay day zero and later to be able to implement a sliding scale. These are only hopes. We know our DG is working hard to try and see if he can come up with something. But if nothing comes, Madam Chair, and hopefully workers, social partners, when we sit, because we think the proposal that was made by council is a very reasonable one. If everyone accepts it, then we can come back and everybody's salary would have been cut by 50%. So at this stage, there was a specific question as to how many people you're targeting. We looked at that, Madam Chair, and as we were looking at it, Madam Chair must remember that we continue to be open. The only issue that we have at the moment is that the numbers are not at the levels we would like them to be. And it means a majority of our staff members are needed on the value chain to sort of provide the service to our tourists. So we made a deliberate decision that we wouldn't want to cut and would rather try and find each other with our social partners. But if it needs be, there are well established and recorded criterions that get used in matters of this nature, principally the last in, first out. We will be able to look at tweaking it a little bit based on operational requirements. And we will see there, Madam Chair, that we'll sort of try and see if we cannot, because the target would then mean you must lay off 50% of your staff complement of a dream, which is we're sitting at plus or minus 240. So it would mean you would need to let go about 120 if you are forced and you have to do that, Madam Chair. But I'm not by in any means trying to preempt the outcomes of that process. I'm just providing for information purposes as questions were asked in this session, Madam Chair. Moving on, Madam Chair, Ntate Siyabi again asked a question around the issue of how do we make Robben Island to be accessible to, in the main, the children around the country of school going age. A very difficult question, Madam Chair, but what the education department team, the heritage team, has been doing is collaborating with the 9 provincial departments around the country. And at times we've had the government departments being able to fund certain students to come this side. At times we're able to find student gatherings across the country where we would have, before COVID, we would have sent our education department colleagues to go share the history of Robben Island. And we've also contributed in the history curriculum, some portion which relates to the history of Robben Island. And Madam Chair, as we report in the immediate past year, 2020-2021, we've sent material, education material to the 9 provinces, and it is also our intention to do so even in the year under audit. Moving on, Madam Chair, I think I've addressed Ntate Siyabi's question, why don't you reduce salaries of employees? I've dealt with that. Honorable Malumane, I've addressed Section 189. Coming to the issue of ex-political prisoners' interviews, Honorable Member would have been looking at this presentation or the APP that the final deliverable is happening in the fourth quarter. But what is happening is that from day one in the month of, from day one as this current period, current financial year begins, there would be work that is being undertaken. What we've put as a deliverable, the work is being done from month one, but what happens is that by month 12, those ex-political prisoners' interviews must have been completed. There's a whole lot of work that gets to be done before we reach that stage because there's a lot of coordination, there's a lot of visits that are made to these provinces where these interviews are conducted to try and prep and identify the ex-political prisoners that are going to be interviewed. So the work is happening throughout the year, but the deadline is such that by end of the financial period, that audit must, that those interviews must have been completed, Madam Chair. There was a question again from the Honorable Member Malumane around what as Robben Island do we do to try and make sure that the infrastructure on the island does not decay. Madam Chair, a very challenging question because what is happening is that infrastructure is the custodianship of public works, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And therefore, the budget for maintenance gets given to them directly. And then the CAPEX budget, which we get from the Department of Arts and Culture, per the country statutes, we cannot use it up until such time DBWI and DSEC reach an agreement that we're authorizing you to do this. That's why it's very challenging, Madam Chair. We sit here and be lambasted, but we do not have the tools to actually address the problem that is facing this institution. But I must give credit to the DG, because we've been engaging with him on this since 2018 when he started at the department. And even though he gave us what?
Just a moment. No one is lambasted you. We want information. The language we must guard against, because I'm having people that they can be having worse language than we are saying. We are not lambasting anyone. We are just fair asking questions. No lambasting of anyone. Please.
Apologies, Madam Chair. I didn't mean it in any other way. I was just looking at the media release. But I understand, Madam Chair, how we call that way.
Honorable Martin Goswaya, your hand is up. Want to talk?
Yes, Chairperson. I was going to support what you just said, that we are not here to lambast anyone, but we're just asking questions.
Okay.
So I want to put that in order. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Honorable, our visitors, we are also honorable members, and as this committee, we always ask each other that when you are engaged, you must use correct language. It can be our visitors starting to have just not acceptable language. This is the second time this language is coming up. I must just try to say, let's stop that. Thank you.
Noted, Madam Chair, and apologies. I was still saying I must give credit to our chairperson, to our DG, who tried to convince Public Works. Last year, we had long outstanding projects, desalination plant, wastewater treatment plant, and the maintenance, soft maintenance. He had come to Ireland when he started at DSEC. And he was asking me why windows are peeling and the paint is peeling. And I was explaining this very same fact. And he has gone and has come back and he has delivered. Since October last year, we were allowed to do maintenance projects that do not exceed $500,000. As I'm talking to you, Madam Chair, there is a whole number of projects currently running. I think about 60 houses, there is painting work that is going on there. What we call the value chain, the interpretation route, where our tourists are interfacing with the island, there are also projects undergoing there, improving the facilities so that they do not get destroyed, Madam Chair. Moving on, Madam Chair. There was a question on, I think it was on the issue of our performance. It was presented by DG. I wanted to reassure the committee again that the performance management, even in the year that it reflected 58%, it was just a technical disagreement with auditors, and we had to respect them on their views. And in the following year, we fixed our English and terminology. And we can really guarantee the committee here that we will maintain those high levels of performance going forward. And then on the issue, on the one matter that led to the institution receiving a qualification in 2019-2020. Madam Chair, yes, it's only one matter. In fact, had management and council agreed with the interpretation of Auditor General that purchase of that boat is irregular, would have received a clean audit opinion. However, on the basis of principle, Madam Chair, we requested to disagree with the Auditor General And we've been in engagements with the Office of the Auditor General, and they've come back to say maybe how we resolve this, we must deal with in this way. Because a dispute is a letter that was given to us by National Treasury during the procurement of this boat. Without boring the committee members with the detail, basically, the institution had embarked upon on two procurement processes trying to procure this boat, 2016, 2017, and both procurements failed for one reason or another. In the first one, the preferred service provider wanted to change the terms and wanted to pass the risk of the foreign exchange fluctuations towards Robben Island. But our tender had been very explicit that we want to be given a fixed price when someone is building that boat for us. In the second one, the preferred service provider, just as it was confirmed as the preferred service provider, hit us with a letter that they were going through business rescue. And the budget to purchase that boat were our hard-won resources generated internally. And we did not have any other buffer. We found it too risky to continue with them when they were faced with financial difficulties. And therefore, that tender was also cancelled, Madam Chair. And then on the third tender, it became apparent to us because now, especially in the second tender, in the first tender, the two tenderers that had tendered, they were not meeting our requirements. In the second round, the two bidders that tendered, they both met the requirements, but our number two was charging us for that boat for 173 million if we were demanding that it be built in South Africa. But if we're building it internationally, we're allowing them to build it in their international site, they wanted to charge us 115 million, but both prices were not affordable to the institution. And therefore we went to National Treasury to put this problem that, look, internally, we only have one service provider, given the two tenders that we have ran that would have consistently responded. The other service provider is facing financial difficulties. The one service provider we have is quoting us 173 million. We needed permission, one, to be allowed to advertise this tender internationally. Two, we needed permission to be also allowed to look at having brokers as people who will tender there, because we don't know where these boats are sitting around the world. They must go find them and they will be in this mixed bag. We also needed, if there was a financier, Madam Chair, with deep pockets who could go buy a boat and lease it to us in return, we wanted to also look at that option because we're looking at the most cost-effective solution to our problem. On the issue of local content, Treasury got us to communicate with DTI on that to get approval. On these other issues of this tender, on this mixed bag of a tender, they said they didn't see any problem for as long as we would make sure that there is equity and it's transparent. Now we went on tender, Madam Chair, and we were able within our internal processes able to find a boat. It's here. It arrived July 2019. And that issue is that Auditor General says there is something called Preferential Procurement Act, where there is an 80-20 if it's below 50 million and 90-10 if it's above 50 million. We should have applied 90-10 because the boat is 90 million. However, if you applied the 90-10, comparing these apples, it wouldn't have given you the best solution to our problem. And as a result, the boat that the auditors want us to saying we should have taken is a 200-seater costing 87 million. The boat that the institution chose is a 280-seater costing 90 million. And if you look at the cost effectiveness when you compare the two solutions, you will notice that the boat we took is actually cost effective because one trip you're able to take 280 people, and if we're looking at it over a period of a year, you would make 14 million more compared to the boat that is has 200 seater. So now we have that technical debate. Now we're going to Treasury so that Treasury can sort of deal with this situation that we are having as to whether the letter they sent us saying is advice, was it also authorizing us not to use the preferential procurement sort of 80-20 and 90-10. That's just a very technical debate. That irregular expenditure arises because there's that omission. And honorable members will also recall that in the very recent history, you have, as parliamentarians, authorized the Office of Auditor General to have a certain kind of irregular expenditure. And this irregular expenditure in question here is not that irregular expenditure. Here, the institution got value for money, and we're just having technical discussions. I think that I'll leave it at that, Madam Chair. And then coming to the question, is Honorable Zondi, even this bold question was coming from Honorable Zondi, on the revenue. Honorable Zondi, in that slide, the 152 million is what we would have generated by ourselves internally. In the year 1920, I think we generated 137 million. So 2021, we're planning to generate 152 million. But that is not the total sum of the revenue that we generate as an institution. We've got a grant we received from the department in that year under question, which is 2021, would have been 84 million. So what it means in that year, we've sort of had that 84 million and internally generated only 4.4 million because we do not have tourists coming into the institution because you've got this situation of COVID where our major markets, which is your US, Europe, mainly France, UK, as well as Germany, and some from Asia, you would have seen that in the past 24 months, they've been really struggling with COVID. And even as we reopened as a country last October, I remember, if my memory serves me well, our country was having challenges allowing certain countries to come. So you had that difficulty, and our tourist numbers are ranging between 70% to 80% international tourists, and 20% to 30% made up of South Africans and the SADC region, Madam Chair. So that's how that big difference is arising. And it is the difference that is making us have the conversations about the difficulties with our funding, Madam Chair. I've already addressed the issue of Section 189. And also the issue of ticket sales before COVID, we're sitting at 137 million. And during COVID, we only managed to raise 4.4. The issue of the infrastructure projects, Madam Chair, I've already dealt with that one, Madam Chair, that there are projects underway. since we have now been given by, since that intervention of the DG, that we now have resources up to 500,000. There is a whole number of projects that we are running on the island that are trying to look at painting, grooming some of the buildings and all that, Madam Chair. I think, I don't know whether there's any other question that I've left out, Madam Chair. I'll hear from members, Madam Chair. Thank you.
CEO. Madam Chair.
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, there's one question that CEO did not respond to, and I think it came from a number of members in terms of him being vindicated by the process.
Oh, thanks a lot for that, Chairperson. Madam Chair, this is a very difficult situation because these investigations start November 2019. And as Madam Chair was saying, myself, all I was trying to...
Chairperson, point of order.
Okay. Yes,
I would appreciate if Mr. Mavadada can first answer the question whether he's implicated or not. Then the committee can decide if we want to listen to him further. I think that's important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, that question, it would be a question for the chairperson to sort of answer, because I don't know whether sitting in the position that I'm sitting at, whether I'm what, empowered to answer that question. Are you saying I'm empowered, Chairperson?
Can I assist the process? I'm suspecting that Chairperson, you ask when we are discussing alleged allegations, we must release. Honorable Dennis, we are correct. Chairperson Maluleka, this is not for this session what we are asking. It was you when you said those who are left, you asked them to excuse them. So I'm suspecting Honorable Dennis' question, but also even himself one answers. Can we share to you, Chairperson, when we are giving us, because you did give them to talk, but I'm seeing the hand of DJ. But I'm thinking that this question is very technical. Just a moment, I want to give it to DJ. DJ?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think that maybe the chairperson's question is directed on what the honorable member has raised, that someone spoke about being vindicated, and that then the one who alleges that would be vindicated must then explain what he or she meant in terms of that. I think that is what the chairperson, honorable chair, was saying, but I think I respect your advice that, because the honourable members were saying this is an unfortunate statement in this meeting and preemptive, then let the matter be part of the discussion going forward rather than again to allow him to start explaining himself on that, because he in the first place should never have said that, in my view. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
I'm suspecting that when he responded to he said apology. Let's not entertain the wrong statements which were put by the very same person. I even cautioned the language. So he said apology. Let's not entertain that. The chairperson and the committee want the detail, especially if there are legal things that are happening. I'm not saying that we cannot discuss, but we'll not have the information on hand.
can I be asking honourable members that honourable Dennis, are you happy?
No, Chairperson, thank you, but I want to just clarify something. Mr. I accept that you, that the person have apologized for making the statement, but a fair question was asked, was the person implicated? And if so, he must answer, because if so, we this committee cannot engage with someone who was implicated and not talking to other people who was also implicated. So we must be careful now we deal with this. If the person, Mr. Mavadada, answer the question by one of the members who was asked if he was implicated, it will allow us to assess how to move forward. But in principle, this committee cannot engage with someone who was implicated who then want to justify his side of his story. Because we have to listen to whoever has initiated this investigation that led to a firm being appointed and led to a process where the management is now implementing some of these recommendations. So we cannot allow someone to come and speak on his own behalf as he is appearing before us to vindicate himself. No, Chairperson. He must answer the question. He should know where he's implicated. He don't have to ask someone else. Or the Chairperson can ask, but I think that is where we must, direction we must go, Chairperson. Thank you.
Chairperson.
Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much to the honorable members. I think let's go back to what the chairperson of the Council of the Robben Island Museum had said initially when he presented. He said he's leaving the area where the allegations will be presented until the questions that have been asked by the members have been answered. And then once that is done, those that are implicated will be recused. And then he will present that area. So I think we are there now. So that we don't get ourselves muddled up. I would think that maybe that's where we should be. To say, are all the questions answered? And if we are satisfied with the questions that have been asked, then we release those that are implicated. And then we get that part of the presentation.
Honorable members, there's some
board
was saying, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Chair, Chairperson of Council, okay. I concur with the Deputy Minister that in my view, the questions have been exhausted. And mm-hmm. I've also said that what the CEO expressed, in my view, was really unfortunate. And, yes, based on that, I would then like to request that the chairperson recuses the executive so that I quickly share the update with regards to the investigation.
That's what I was expecting. Because if we allow them to present, it was on the premises that they will present, but immediately that they said the alleged two members will be recused, and then now want to ask them the things that he raised, they were wrong of talking like that. But now if we want to argue on that, we won't end this meeting. Can I take and again ruled that that question must be reserved in our meeting, and then let's recuse them.
Chairperson?
Honorable Dennis?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. I wanted to ask Mr. Mavadada or anyone on the management to just... in writing, they can also just brief us, because I know Two Oceans was cancelled now twice, but they are doing virtual running. So do Robben Island do virtual tours on the island? So
can give anyone to ask that. Honorable Knox, or before the answering, Honorable Knox, do you have it?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Sorry for that. I just wanted to
check, and I'm asking this in the context of the financial situation RIM finds itself in, just to check if they've applied to UNESCO as SOSA African Heritage Fund, for which applications were considered during 2020 for financial assistance. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much. Any other follow-up? I've noted two hands, and then can I give it to Honorable Madlingozi?
Thank you, Chair. About the multi-layered history and the memorabilia aspect. My question is, what memory are we talking about here? Are we talking about erasing the memory that we had before the incarceration of Nelson Mandela? What role is actually this entity's objective is to South Africans? What picture and what future are we wanting to create for the up and coming kids? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. With those questions, we must look at our time also. But I cannot to give members when they want to follow up. We've got three questions from three members. Chairperson, Mr. Maluleka.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair. Maybe let me respond to the question raised by Councillor Honorable Madlingozi, and I'll allow the CEO to respond to the other two. For us, Robben Island is a center of memory. It's a sacrosanct site that has a greater meaning for South Africans. It's a place of reflection. It means different things to different people who visit there. Some go for spiritual reasons, some go for upliftment, and be that as it may, how we present the narrative is such that South Africans get a sense of fulfillment when they visit the site. And the example that I can give closest to that is when you look at your Holocaust museums, you will realize that how the narrative is presented. You have the perpetrator and the victim presented, and upon leaving the place, you then ask your question as to if you had lived during that period, would you have been a victim or a perpetrator? And I think the Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg tried that as well. So as Robben Island, I think it has a combination of all that, because out of Robben Island, we have the democracy that we enjoy today. And how we project that narrative should be such that people get a sense of affinity in terms of saying, yes, it was through this island where people sacrificed their lives, where they were banished, that we enjoy this this democracy. And all that is embedded in the narrative that we are putting together as an institution. And the narrative has different epochs. It has an epoch that deals with leprosy, the period of banishment, the Second World War, and the like. And in weaving this story, it is our wish to find ourselves telling these different stories so that we can be able to attract different audiences. And those different audiences can then be translated into different products that could possibly lead to income generation. So these are possibilities that we are looking at based on the narrative that we have. So in short, that's how the broader memorialization project pans out in terms of how we tell a South African story, looking at Robben Island. And the other thing, maybe being my last comment, is that people who were incarcerated came from different parts of the country, and some came from neighboring countries. There has to be a nexus between Robben Island and provinces of where these ex-political prisoners come from. That is why it is important for us to work with provincial departments to ensure that the story of local ex-political prisoners is told in the context of Robben Island. So in a nutshell, that's what we're striving to do, Councillor Mandigos. CEO, I'd like you to maybe address the other two questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Madam Chair, on the issue of virtual tour, it's something that was in our plans for 18 to 2023. But as soon as COVID hit us, we quickly had to bring it forward. However, I wouldn't want to sort of place too much reliance on it, because the virtual tour product in the main, by other sites, it has always been used as a marketing tool more than as a revenue generator. But be that as it may, we commissioned it and is currently being subjected to final reviews. Executive management has looked at it. We're trying to get stakeholders that we normally use to sort of look at our product launches. To sort of look at it, its quality and as to whether it's going to be appealing. And we're looking at rolling it out on a commercial basis. So we will be selling, but we don't want it to be regarded as the magic wand, something that will be able to sort our financial issues. If it does, that will be welcome. But our experience to date is that it's not something that is necessarily used to generate resources, to generate income per se. And on the second question from Ntate Siyabi, no, Ntate Siyabi, as an institution, we were not aware that there were applications open at UNESCO, and therefore we did not make the application there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Madam Chair, maybe... With regards to funding, let me come in, institutions like Africa World Heritage Fund, they do not fund institutions per se, but they fund programs. So if we were to identify programs that are aligned to their broader vision and objective, maybe such funding would have been drawn. But my limited understanding is that these institutions do not give loads and loads of money. It's only, I think, menial grants that are granted to ensure that programs are in place. Thank you.
Before we are coming to the second part of today, I will give it to UDG, and then lastly, maybe let me give it to DM. Must say this last part, DM.
Chairperson, my question hasn't been answered even on the follow-up question. Now the answer is black. I'm told that there are many other prisoners who are held in that, and they are from the outside. But Langalibalele is not from outside the country, Chairperson. My question remains: why is the story of Langalibalele and Sobukwe downplayed? That's all I need to know. Thank you, Chair.
But the next time,
third point of the Chair, I didn't disrespect you whatsoever.
No, I didn't say that. You didn't raise hand, but you are raising your points, which is fine. I'm saying I'm looking in the participants and I'm looking at somebody who's going to raise up the hand. I didn't say that in disrespect. Honorable DG is going to answer Honorable Mazingo's questions.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think it would be incorrect to say it's being downplayed in the manner that it's being projected by my Honorable Mahlengozi. If you have visited Robben Island, even during the tour, the house of Babu Robert Sobukwe, all the buses stopped by there, and the tour guide will explain his history and the painful isolation he went through, even his release and then later being incarcerated and released to back home. It is something that is covered in the tour, and then there is a narrative that is being presented there. However, what maybe when we talk about Makanda, for instance, Langalibalele, it is something that we can take it to heart and ask that, as the chairperson was explaining, that we then go back there and see that the narrative indeed does elevate the story of all. And I must emphasize, our commitment was, Honorable Malin was asked about the vision and the objective of that institution. And I think Honorable Denise had really covered it in terms of dealing with everything, whether it was before or after 1960, that the island must talk to that. And currently government is and the department are talking about resistance and not just liberation movement, because the resistance was pre-liberation movement. And that is why then this is a component that we need to make sure that it is emphasized during the visit and also captured very clearly, as the chairperson of the island of the castle was saying, that we cover the holistic history of human resistance and human spirit against oppression and exploitation. And that is why then I think, Honorable Chair, we just want to say we accept what Honorable Martin was saying about emphasis. But it's just to say that it is incorrect to say there is a either deliberate or intentional downplaying of any of the political prisoners who were there or those who were involved in resistance, because this is about a totality of history of our country which shapes our destiny and our identity, and therefore it has to be holistic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've seen Honorable Mahlengozi, what you are sharing the screen. We'll take care of what we are saying. Thank you, DG. Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much for those questions and the executive that has responded. And I think one of the immediate things that the portfolio committee need to finalize is the issue of visiting the Robben Island to do oversight, so that their report is complete in terms of what the reflection would be of this important historical site. And now, Chair, if the questions have been exhausted and everybody is comfortable, with your permission, I think then we should recuse the members of the executive as per the chair of the council, Robben Island, so that we can get to the second part of the presentation, which is about everything that has been asking that couldn't be responded adequately, the issue of the allegations and the mismanagement. I think let's get there. But thank the members of the executive that have answered questions, and then with your permission, recuse them so that the chairperson can share with us that part of the report. Thank you, Chair.
DM, let me thank the members of the council irrespective of what is happening, that they did prepare to come and brief the committee. If they were not respecting a committee, maybe they will be saying, no, we don't go there. But thank you so much. I'm saying now is that time of the second part of the presentation. We are releasing you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, honorable members. Bye-bye.
Bye,
Theo. Bye-bye, Theo. Jabu? Jabu Zou?
Yes,
Jabu?
Yes, sir.
Can now get to the second presentation?
Okay, sir.
Are they all
okay? Let's check, sir, because they haven't come in. Because we said 12 o'clock to the Boxing SA team.
No, I'm saying that they out, the members that we asked them to get out in the meeting.
We still, the chairperson has left. Let me ask them to, let me remove them, Chair.
Chairperson, the one who's going to present?
No, Chair. This is the previous chairperson of Robben Island.
No, Jabu. Jabu.
Jabu.
You don't remove the chairperson. You only remove the
chairperson is going to present of Robben Island.
Okay, Chair. Apologies. Yes.
Okay, accepted. Please accept him to get in.
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Is Honorable Kensana in? I can't, which means it's not yet in.
We will call him, Honorable Chair, to rejoin.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we'll try and turn to him or hold of him.
Okay. Thank you, teacher. Enunza.
Yes, sir.
And learn the power.
Wenzeni, sir.
Umando good.
Hayi sey hayi ngoku ninikila manje nguwe othe ngothe mandigqibezele lesizathu ndinawuyenza loo nto sey
nawuzeifake
engxaki
ndiyakubona uba udadele emzulwini
ndiyaxolisa.
Hello, Chair.
Yes.
The chairperson is back in.
Okay, I'll see him. The chairperson now. Kutheni ngoku ndaba sisipoki?
Okay, I'm here, Chairperson.
Okay, that's can you take us through now? We are sorry about the mistake that you have been taken out. Also, our apology as the committee. It was an error in our office. Sorry.
Okay, it's okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, members, for this opportunity to present this slide on the investigation report. My presentation is not going to be that long. If you look at the presentation, it's only one slide, but I'll try my best to give as much detail as possible.
Is the slide with you, ne? Only?
Jabu, it's part of the main, it's part of what we submitted. I think it's slide number 34.
Oh, okay. Jabu?
Yes.
in the meantime, can you talk to the slide?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you. I think members will recall that the last time we made a presentation before you, we had appointed the investigation team to undertake this investigation. And I think that was sometime in March, if not April. Indeed, we appointed the investigator, and the report was final report was submitted at the end of February, and we are implementing the recommendations of that investigation. And one key thing that I need to put before members is that there is a disciplinary process underway, and I think that is part of council implementing the recommendations of the investigation. If I were to share the structure of the investigation report, it's in three parts. The first part talks to the recommendations, to the findings, I mean to say, and the second part talks to legal advice. And the third part had to do with confidential information as it relates to people who were interviewed, including some of our employees. We did brief the minister in the presence of our legal advisor or the investigator, where we indicated to say that for now, we are not going to publish the report because of the investigation, because of the disciplinary process that is underway. And the reason why we saying that is that at this point in time, council has a legal privilege over the report. So if we were to share the report at this stage, we will jeopardize the outcomes of the investigation. And insofar as the disciplinary process is concerned, they have been a delay in the appointment of the chairperson of the disciplinary hearing. It's only last week that the appointment was finalized, and I think this was due to some administrative and logistical delays that such appointment only happened now. And members, I think, will be privileged to know that we as council requested the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture to manage this investigation, to manage the process on our behalf to ensure independence and transparency. So the department has been liaising with the state law advisors with regards to the appointment and with regards to the appointment of the service provider with the investigator, and also the appointment of the chairperson of the disciplinary hearing. So yes, the department has been so helpful in that regard. So as I'm sharing this information with you, the chairperson of the legal or the disciplinary hearing will then be engaging the parties to ensure that we have this process underway. And there was a question raised as to how long is this process going to take. My view is that, or council's view is that, this is a matter that we want to resolve before July. And for a simple reason, that the contract of the CEO is coming to an end in July. So from a process point of view, that's where we are. And the other reason why we really wouldn't like to share the report is that we're not privy at this stage to the outcomes of the investigation, because there could be civil or criminal claims around it, which if the report were to be shared, it surely would really jeopardize the entire investigation. So what we have done and what we have been communicated consistently is that we will be sharing the executive summary of the report for the benefit of the public, and I think that's where we add, unless if maybe there's something from the department that they'd like to add relating to the investigation. The issue of appointment as to which legal firm has been appointed, Mark Roberts is the name of the legal firm that has been appointed to do the investigation, and the terms of reference are available, and that can be easily and readily shared with yourself should you be interested in having a copy. So, Chairperson, in a nutshell, that's where we're at. And I'll like to take questions if necessary.
DM, thank you, Honourable Chairperson of REM. DM?
Sir, in fear of being accused of taking over the powers, maybe I was going to ask if the DC doesn't want to have any additional chairs.
But these are your powers. When I'm giving powers, don't play with the power I'm giving you. I've seen the hand of Honorable Knox. You want that before DJ Honorable Knox?
No, after I was raising a hand for questions, Chair.
Oh, okay. So just wait for the DJ. DJ? Lo baba was Mahlathini aphehlala khona kuye kuphi manje. DJ?
He's here in the screen. Oh, he must.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. No, we don't really have any much to add, because in terms of the institution of the disciplinary hearing or implementation of recommendations of the report, that is purely the responsibility of the board, and they had updated us in terms of instituting the disciplinary actions, and we are hoping that it will not take too long. Also, we had asked that things must have timeline. At the time, the chairperson indicated the board, they had indicated that the CEO was dilly-dallying in terms of responding, and otherwise through his lawyers will ask 1, 2, 3, and then eventually they were able to start the process. But the delay was purely on the basis of maybe the CEO exercising his rights to ask for additional information, questions. But it has been a delaying element in the finalization of this. So ours is to just really urge the chairperson that this process be concluded as speedily as possible, and that is the message we have shared with the chairperson. But they had given us that explanation on the reason for the delay.
Thank you, Honorable Sian. Now is the time for questions, Honorable Members.
Thanks very much, Chair. there's an intention by the committee to visit Robben Island during June, July, around there, whenever it is approved. I would suggest that if possible, the executive summary report that the chairperson is talking about, if it can be availed to members of the committee as soon as possible. Two, I've when the chairperson gave us a report, I couldn't detect who are employees implicated by the report, who are supposed to go through a disciplinary process. Maybe if the chairperson can clarify as to who is implicated by the report, who's supposed to go to the disciplinary process, and whether I heard him saying they have requested the intervention of the department, whether that is in line with their code of practice in terms of labor related issues as an institution. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siabe. I must remind the honorable members, when the chairperson opened political overview, when he was doing his opening remarks, he was saying CEO and CFO. If, as Honorable Siabe is asking, are you confirming that, and are only these two members of the council, to you, Honorable Kingson? Chairperson Maluleka? Unmute. Mkululeni Pakwe Zantambo, nimbophelele kuso. Unmute. Assist Jabu.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, in terms of the implicated officials, it is indeed the CFO and the CEO. And in terms of the question raised by Honorable Member Siabe, you will recall that when the investigation process started, we requested the department to facilitate the process on our behalf, particularly procurement, because had we done it internally, we would have compromised the investigation. So the procurement aspect of the investigation has been handled by the department. Even with the appointment of the chairperson of the disciplinary hearing, it is the department that is assisting us, and I think the DG can confirm to that effect. Thank you.
Who's the chairperson of DC? Did you give it still confidential?
At this stage, yes, it still is. But maybe in the weeks to come, we'll be able to do that.
Okay.
Yes.
DM?
No comment yet at this stage. I was hoping if there's going to be more questions from the members of the portfolio committee. Yes, sir.
Hey, President, Dennis Joseph, I would like to ask.
Yes, Dennis.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just would like to confirm, I'm obviously going to make a media statement. But I think I've also saw in the one slide about our, the strengths, the weaknesses, opportunities, and so on. I saw in the one slide that there is a threat, potential threat, that media is not good for the island, and I will keep that in mind. But this is a public organization, and the public have all the right to know what's going on. And I respect the views given about why certain information should not be made available now. But the point these employees must know, and other thing I noticed on the slide is that I'm not sure if they're on permanent staff or contract staff, but we should look at when we sign contracts with employees, that they must know they are working for the people. They're working for the people, and the people is entitled to know what's going on. So it's a public organization for all stakeholders that participate in Robben Island. That's a principal matter which allow me to make a media statement, because I must inform the media of what is the view of our party. But not thinking, not hearing, claiming here or saying that I want to badmouth the organization, but I think we're talking about that we must present facts to the people out there and to the media. That's the point I wanted to make. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair?
Who's that?
Yeah, concerning the Chairperson of Robin Island.
Who's this next to my name? Soren, who's just showing here?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
The members of the board for Boxing SA have started coming in preparation for the 12 o'clock meeting.
Hey, but you need to manage. If we've tried to set other people, they must come. We're about to finish. They must wait just 3 minutes. They must not get in. We're finishing this session. Please. Take them out. I'll apologize to them. Please wait, Mr. Chairperson Kinson.
Yes, thank you.
I'm saying please wait. Please wait.
All right, sorry.
Okay. I've seen these people are still in. You need to be sensitive when they ask other people to get out and then want to be alone. And now I've seen somebody just show his face, and I was not knowing who is he, but he is still here. I'm suspecting, Honorable Dennis, there's nothing that you are going to say and reveal which can jeopardize the presence of people who are muted also. Honorable Dennis, we've taken note of what you are saying about media, what you are saying about our powers also as a committee. I'm suspecting that I don't want a honorable or the chairperson of RIM that must respond on that, except that if you want to give us his closing remarks, I'm giving it to himself.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity to come and present before you. However, I'll caution against what Honorable Joseph mentioned, given the sensitivity of the process at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson of RIM. Thank you to present and prepare all what you have done, and your presentation let's again recorded that it arrived 2 weeks back. We appreciate what we have done with your colleagues, irrespective of challenges that we are having. In that note, we can release you now.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, all right, colleagues.
All right. So,
Madam Chair,
they must come in. They must take off. Mr. Kinson still here appearing his name, and now, yes, thank you, Honorable Siabe.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether I'm jumping the gun, but I'm suggesting that the chairperson allows us a 15 minutes break in between now and as the other guests are coming in. We couldn't move because the report was so sensitive and with it. I'm not allowed to smoke in the house.
Honorable Chair, my honorable member, yesterday we started at 9 and we ended up 2:30. We didn't ask break. And I, as chairperson, I've asked that we must just grab the food, but it can't be 15 minutes. It's too much. I can give honorable members 5 minutes in order that these honorable guests, we said they must go, they must come in.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
The time. Thank you, honorable members. 5 minutes.
Ten, at least.
This one doesn't smoke, doesn't do anything that other people are doing.
Chair, can you come at 12?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah. Roll down your iron. At 12 we're starting.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much, honorable members.
Yeah, it's the same 15 minutes I requested, Chair.
Amber, whoa. The 15 minutes is going to expire.
Hey, I don't know. Okay, hi. Hello, Honorable Dennis.
Chairperson, it's Veronica.
Oh, Honorable Veronica.
Yes, I just want to let you know that I will be leaving the meeting now.
Okay, you did say
thank
so.
Thank you,
Thank you. Bye.
The real shadow minister is leaving.
Ooh, you cannot say that aloud.
Hey, I don't know why this today. Hey, you know, he's a somebody who's very, very quiet. I don't know what is going on with him today. I see him.
I hope we will finish early with this thing.
Yes, that's what now I'm worried about what Lutata was selling bomb.
But I'm sure we will because I have to leave at 2 as well. Again today.
Okay, so we will. But I cannot confirm that your members, you know them. Like we didn't talk about the break. Mm. But I must not.
And when I say if somebody gives you a leeway, I said allow members to ask questions. I'll come later. I'll stand in the meeting. I can go.
Come, I won't do that again. We understand, I don't play with power. So when you tell enough wood to your power, I then you nickel, I went on and just wrong or non-stop.